Adam on Life Tilt right now.
I am told I you know when you get that in that mood and you're like your blood's just boiling and talking about it makes you angrier. That's and where I am right now.
And then your wife has to come in and say, "Just calm down."
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it better.
Yeah.
Now I'm just angry at you.
Yeah. Somehow your words were calming. I feel much better now.
Because I share your rage, man. That's what you need. Someone to come in there and take half your rage away.
Yeah.
We'll split that, Rich. It's a rage split.
I'm not BSing you. I feel much better.
Good. I'm happy to go Dutch on your rage. Hello and welcome to episode 424 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Adam in Vancouver. Man, what's going on in Vancouver? Still snowy?
Still snowy, yep. Considering we did this as a quick record after the last episode, yeah. Still snowy.
Still snowy, man. All right. Well, I'm assuming you got lots of snowball fights in hockey. That's the one rub about the powdery snow, Gesundheit, is my son hates it because he can't make snowballs. And he loves, my son at 5 years old loves snowballs.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a key element to the snow. I used to, growing up in Ontario, because I think we mentioned on the last one, the snow was highly variable. You'd get a lot of just weak kind of powdery snow. And so the first test was always when you got outside in the morning was, is this packing snow or is this, you know, fluffy nonsense? So as an adult now, when you're cleaning your car, you prefer the fluffy stuff. But as a kid, it's all about the wet packing snow.
I prefer the sunshine and 30 degrees, but and my son, I mean, he doesn't have a cannon by any means, but he does have a very good arm. Which I guess the bar is set pretty low in Soccerville over here. So, but he does have a very good arm, and so he loves whipping snowballs. I have to wind him down to say, like, you can't get into snowball fights with your friends, buddy. Like, you're outgunning them.
Right.
Yeah. So I
I was gonna say, no. Did I ever tell you the story about where I threw the snowball through my friend's house?
Like through the house?
Like through the front bay window of his house.
Oh, you broke a window.
Oh, not any window, like a massive front of your house into your living room window.
Did they know that you did it?
At a party that his parents allowed him to have at the end of high school, right before
they were 8 years old.
They were moving. No, I was like 15.
Oh no.
And this was they had sold their house. His parents had sold their house and allowing him to have, like, this is a bad idea, allowing him to have a party after the sale of their house, but before they moved. So everything was pretty much out of the house. Uh-huh. I think there was a few random pieces of furniture that they were going to get rid of, and empty house, figuring, hey, you know, there's not much that they can break here.
Right.
Wrong. You can break the front bay window of your house when you throw a snowball at one of your friends at 2 a.m. who's on the porch peeing off the balcony. That's how you do it. That's how you break the front bay window. And then you have to do the walk of shame because I'm too much of a guilt-driven person. I know my friend whose house it was one of my best friends. I was the best man at his wedding. Told the story, of course, at his wedding. But he was very intoxicated at this high school party. And I could have walked away scot-free, except for my guilt is way too much. And so I did the walk of shame back up into the house and told him, oh, P.S., I just threw a snowball through the front window. Like, it's not like it just went through as a hole. The entire thing shattered. Like, his inside was now outside.
Oh, no. Yeah. And so what did that cost you? Did you crowdfund that?
I should have. That wasn't a thing back then. But what I did was I promptly apologized to him. His parents, I called the next day. I told them what I'd done. Parents did, fortunately, really love me. And the fact that I was a very good influence on their son, who they thought was never going to get out of high school and turned out going to university with me for our undergrad and later became a chiropractor. I was a very favorite kid for the positive influence. They just said, yeah, we just We don't worry about it. We're just going to shave $500 off the price of our sale because they already sold the house and just walk away. So I fully expected to be paying it off from my dry cleaner after school job for the next 3 months. But
you worked at a dry cleaner?
Dry cleaners in high school. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Walker's like cleaners. Martinizer.
Walker's cleaners.
It wasn't called Martinizing?
No, I was the till guy. After all, like the day's end where there was no more dry cleaning, it was just someone walks in, oh, give you a tag with the number, go down the rack, pull the thing, here's you go, $9.25. That was my job.
All right. That sounds terrible.
It was a great after school job because I could do my homework and person would come in roughly every 20 minutes. That's all it was. It was awesome.
I did not see this episode going this direction.
Okay, well, we've hit a new low.
No, we got to follow this. See this thread. Pull at it. See where it leads. Why is it called Martinizing?
I don't know.
That's what it's called, isn't it? Is that what dry cleaning is? Is it the process is made by from New York Yankees legend Billy Martin?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not a dry cleaningologist. I was just the till guy at a dry cleaner's.
Did you ever hear the story about him shooting, Billy Martin shooting that horse?
No.
That's for a different side. I don't, I forget the particulars. It was him and Mickey Mantle were out hunting / drinking.
Right.
And, what happened? I guess they, Mickey Mantle was trying to pull a prank on him. And where were they hunting? I forget whose house they were hunting at on his property. He said, "Hey, listen, Mickey, while you're out there, can you do me a favor? I got an old horse or an old cow or whatever it was that, you know, I need to put down. I just can't do it. Can you do me a favor? Can you put her down?" "Yeah, no problem." So he goes out there and shoots it and doesn't tell Billy Martin. And I'm butchering this story, by the way. doesn't tell Billy about it. And Billy says, what's going on? What are you doing? He says, "Oh yeah, this jerk, he owes me money," whatever it is. "Yeah, so I'm going to show him." So next thing you know, Billy Martin just gets a quick draw and like shoots three of his horses.
Wow.
Bam, bam, bam. There, I showed him. Like, whoa, wait a second. I'm going to have to Google that story later and find out how it really went, but it's something like along those lines.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. You know, you started it with this whole dry cleaning business.
We had this little black and white TV there too that I could kind of, if I was done my homework, I would sort of watch the TV, and it only had
Charlie's Angels.
No, it only had one channel that you could kind of get because it was just antenna. And so I kind of knew the whole lineup, and the lineup was not good. Do you want to hear what is usually on during
my
shift?
What year are we talking?
So I would have been 16, 17. I'm going to say around 1992, something like that.
Okay, so this would be your reruns at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I usually start around 4, and I'd be there until like I don't know. I want
to
say
this is Leave It to Beaver.
No, we didn't get that. We got the Bold and the Beautiful. So a soap.
Okay.
Which was usually, I can't remember if it was first or second. After that was Young and the Restless.
Okay.
Yeah, so I would watch that, and then the Goof Troop, you know, like it was a cartoon with Goofy and Goofy's kid.
Uh-huh.
Man, did I love the Goof Troop. Okay. And
sure,
there's usually Wheel of Fortune.
Right.
Watch Me Some Vanna and Jeopardy.
The Jeopardy. Yeah. Jeopardy's awesome.
That was kind of the lineup. So I kind of still recognize some soap people because there was nothing else. There was one channel and I was like, yeah, I'm watching Bold and the Beautiful. It's better than staring at the wall.
So if you need a new TV, if you want to upgrade from your black and white 12-inch TV,
that's what it was. It was 13-inch, I think.
Buy it on Amazon. Click through our site and help us out.
Sure,
there's plenty to watch now.
Yeah.
Although life was simple when your choices were Young and the Restless. Who was the guy I'm thinking of on there? Not Rick.
Victor.
Rick Springfield. Rick Springfield, wasn't he on there?
I don't know.
No, not Rick Springfield. Who's the guy I'm thinking of?
The main character guy, the evil guy, his character name was Victor.
Yeah, I've never seen an episode of a soap opera in my life.
Google and Victor, Young and the Restless, and that's the guy you're talking about. That's the only
guy. That's the guy with the mustache.
Yeah, he's still probably on there.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
He's a bad man, that Victor.
No, who's the... Oh, Michael Damian. What was he? Was he part of it?
I don't know anybody's real name.
I don't know. Whatever. Google that. Enjoy Googling the all those stories, everybody.
Yeah.
Hashtag nobody.
Goof Troop. Seriously, they must have reruns on YouTube. I'm going to hit that Goof Troop hard later.
Is that a rerun if it's on YouTube? I don't know how that, what's that would be called.
I don't know.
All right. Besides that, what's going on now, Adam?
I'm not sure.
We're coming, okay, I'll give you a hint of what's going on here. We're okay. Slowly coming out of the February doldrums now.
Okay.
Baseball's moving again. We're working out inside, still inside in the basketball arena, but getting the throwing in, getting the old arm, the old soup bone loose. Thought I would hang him up after last year, but I'm not going to because baseball's awesome.
That's good. I'm glad to hear you're still going strong.
Yeah, it was, I don't know, I was being ageist against myself. I thought, there's no way. I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're an old man. You're an old man.
I'm an old man. There's no question about it. And, you know, but we'll find out. I can still hit, so I'm still going to.
This will be the year that you go down for the count.
Like blow a knee? That's my concern, is the knee.
No, it's going to be a hammy. It's going to be a hammy.
Well, hammy, I don't care about. Hammy, I think you can pretty much stitch that up yourself at home. It's the ACL, the Kreuzband. That's my main concern.
That doesn't really, that's not a thing with age. You'd need a real, that doesn't matter whether you're 17 or 45.
Yeah, but I've had a couple guys on my team do that, and I just don't want that to happen. It's not an age thing. Okay. I'm more concerned about, I don't know, I'm not actually concerned about any of the age part. It's just the, in general, getting, blowing out your Kreuzband when you're 45, that can't be a fun recovery.
No, it's not good. I think of you as Tom Berenger in Major League, and you know, mm-hmm. when he tries to beat out that like bunt in the final game, and kind of halfway down first base, kind of like grabbing his hammy and just kind of, he still legs it out. That's how I see you going down.
Yeah, I don't bunt though.
Well, just legging out a single, or you just go yard. Yeah.
Yeah. The A-train drives the ball off the wall. So a lot of singles off the fence though. A lot of those now. A lot of balls in the gap that I'm not stretching into three anymore. A lot of stand-up doubles.
Right.
In fact, I think I was second in the league in doubles last year, as a matter of fact. And some of them were triples. I just stopped at second.
Right.
It's like, all right, let's not be Big Poppy. Yeah. Let's not get too excited here. You know, like, all right, it is easily a stand-up, just pulling in to second with the stand-up double, but come on, let's not kid ourselves. But anyway, coming out of the doldrums, photography-wise, I don't know, let's, reminder about photography, the monthly challenge is the Do Your Best, the DYB challenge this month, courtesy of Adam.
We should get at least 8,000 entries.
Right. Okay. That'll 8,000 seems like the over under. That's a reasonable. I'm taking the under on that one.
Okay.
But hashtag that on Instagram. Hashtag a Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. Hashtag Hey Hosers or hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Photo. Just because of Adam.
If you listen to this podcast and you don't register a photo, give yourself a good long look in the mirror. That's all.
Well, as it turns out, we've got some feedback, and there's been more than one person who's emailed or sent a message or whatever you know way you get in touch. And it turns out, and this is all honesty, that some people are reluctant to post, and basically they're just saying they're like, you know, they some people have just gotten the nerve or the courage to enter the contest, and that's legit.
So you should feel bad for them.
No, I would like to disavow them of that notion that they should be nervous about this. They should get involved and put it out there. No matter what level you're at, put it out there. I mean, you know, Adam and I may joke about it. We may, you know, but I guarantee you there's going to be some constructive criticism, which is a good thing. But no matter what level you're at, how long you've been doing this, put it out there. That's what this is for, is... Well, like, what are you gonna like? You gonna live forever? I mean, come on now, do this.
Yeah, do this.
Like, here's the advice that I like, you know, that I give most people, but the guys on my team and like the kids and stuff like that. Just whether it's baseball or life, and tell me if you agree with this or think I'm completely full of nonsense. Okay, first of all, everyone's gonna make mistakes in life. That's gonna happen, right?
Yes.
So my advice to you and to everybody else is always err on the side of action.
Agreed.
You will not regret. You'll regret very few things that you did. You will regret many things that you did not do.
Right.
So you'll still make mistakes. You'll still, you know, probably shouldn't have thrown that snowball, but hey, I don't regret it. It's a good story.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. I feel like we've all been enlightened today.
If you had not thrown that snowball, you erred on the side of action, though. Had you not thrown that snowball, you would not have heard Billy Martin shooting some horses.
That's true. And you know what I learned from that story is that I love having, like, if I didn't throw that snowball, I have one less very good memory from my childhood.
Yeah.
And I also learned that, holy crap, owning up to stuff is scary as hell when you have to call your friend's parents and tell them, you know, straight up, I threw that snowball through your window and I'm more than willing to pay for the damage. Just please let me know how much I owe you. Like, that is a life lesson that I don't know too many of my friends that would have done that. They would all say, you can't say anything and run away. Like, I think that learning that lesson at the age of 15, and it pays off because no matter what, someone's going to tell on you. Like, it will get back to the parents that you did this and ran away. And then you look like a gigantic, can I say a-hole on this podcast?
Yes, so I think you can.
Yeah, so I just did anyway. So you look like a horrible person. And guess what? If a kid did that, if a kid came forward and said to me, this is exactly what they did, I probably would be so pleased with the fact that they had the, I don't know, what would you call it? The courage, the bravery to tell me that I probably wouldn't get them to pay for it either, versus I would be so irate at the kid that took off and had no character. So it was, that's a big character building moment where you struggle with that as a 15-year-old that, oh my God, I have to tell my friend's parents, my best friend's parents, that I just kind of destroyed their house.
So, well, their ex-house, but
yeah,
the what Adam's saying is the big takeaway here is enter the challenge next month, no matter what level you're at.
That's exactly what I'm saying. So you just
err on the side of doing it.
Cole's notes version. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Did you shoot anything interesting?
Not in the last 42 minutes.
No. I shot last week and then didn't talk about it on the last show.
Yeah, I did that too. Yeah.
Okay. Mine is very fast, so I'll get mine out of the way. Then I want to hear about yours. I just figured out, kind of by accident, that my Canon dedicated, it's a knockoff, it's a third party brand, I forget the name of it, sync cable. I have a sync cable that goes in the hot shoe. Like, normally you have a wireless that goes in the hot shoe to trigger the flash, or you have I have a very long cable like that goes in the PC sync port in your camera, which there's no ETTL info. It just triggers the flash, that's it. But I also have a hot shoe version that basically extends the hot shoe to your flash, right?
Right.
So you have off camera flash in, you know, to the length of the cable, whatever that is. It's like a old telephone cord where it's kind of wound up, right? Spiraled.
Right.
And so I don't know how long it is, but it's not crazy long. But point is it works. So ETTL works. You know, I have my 580 EX2 and my Canon camera, and I can basically take the flash off and do, you know, high speed sync if I want, or ETTL. All that works great. However, I just found out that it also works on my Fuji X100 because it does not have a PC sync port. All you have is the hot shoe to trigger a flash.
Okay.
So if you want to do off camera flash, now my CyberSyncs work, so I can pop that in and do that. But with the Fuji X100, you can sync it at up to like 1/4,000th of a second because it has a leaf shutter. Like, it's a pretty fantastic thing. So you want to kill the ambient light outside and sun, you can do that with the 1/4,000th of a second and still use a regular flash to light the scene, which is great without having to do high speed sync or anything like that. Issue being, for the most part, it works just fine with the remotes, but there is that little lag time that you want to avoid, so you'd like to have it hardwired. I lied. This is not a short one at all. So anyways, point being is this Canon sync cable works in the hot shoe with my Fuji with a Nikon off-brand like an old SB25, for example. Now, all it does is trigger it. You have to do everything manually. It doesn't do ETTL or anything like that. But I can now very simply kill the ambient light outside and use the flash off-camera with my X100. So I shot around a little bit with that. Nothing good to post or anything like that. But I will have something. I'll shoot a lot more of that. Most likely in the summer, it's going to come in way, way handy. But I'm pretty glad that that works without having to buy any new equipment.
Okay.
So the answer is no, I didn't do anything interesting.
Yeah, I was waiting. I was just like, okay, we're going to come around to the interesting bit. But no, turns out.
And then
no.
I smashed a window with a... All right, you shot something.
It got interesting.
Right at the end there.
I shot hockey photos. So I shot some hockey photos of my kids' team. I've been doing a lot of that compiling stuff to kind of finish up a slideshow. I still have a few more shots I'd like to get. I'd like to get a shot to end the slideshow with the entire team with helmets off, on ice, doing kind of like the year-end Stanley Cup thing where, you know, everyone's got their finger up and they're not like lined up so neatly, but they're all kind of jammed in the middle, lying down, coaches around. Like I really like to get the full arsenal of everybody in a very, I don't know, you could Google Stanley Cup winning team photos, the ones that are done on the ice, they look super cool, and throw a couple lights up. And then I'd like to get a photo of just the coaches. So stuff to finish out my slideshow. I also did the photos for a different hockey team that I was being paid to do, and that was a bit of a fun experience, lying on my stomach on the ice to get with the wide angle to get, you know, kids coming in and shooting with a foam puck kind of just off camera and trying to catch the puck in frame if I can and make for this cool action lit photo with using a couple of flashes to kind of freeze the action. And just a challenging set of scenarios, not to mention I wear glasses, and in order to be on the ice for insurance reasons, I got to have a helmet on. And having the helmet on, lying on your stomach on the ice with your glasses, and my glasses keep getting pushed all over the place, and I'm not visually good enough anymore to do this without my glasses on. Like, I just there's too many moving parts here. So my legs froze, my hands are frozen because I'm literally lying my face is 2 inches off the ice with my glasses over my face. The whole thing was a bit of a challenge. I'm happy with how the photos turned out. Sadly, did not get permission to post the photos because I didn't know any of these people. It's just, again, one of those awkward things. I'm doing this, I'm in and out, don't know anybody, and don't really feel like, oh, hey, by the way, can I post some of these for my podcast that I do? I it was one of those ones where I was like, yeah, I'm just walking away here. It's a job and I'm leaving after.
Okay.
So, but again, the photo challenge takeaway is I told the guy when I was doing it, I've never attempted this shot before. What we're trying to do. It's going to be challenging. There's a lot of kids. So 17 kids. That's a lot there was an hour and a
half. You got 17 setup action photos. So you're not, this isn't like you're in the middle of a scrimmage and you're picking kids off.
No. We're pulling like one at a time and like come down through here and shoot here. The foam pucks we have, I don't know if you can visualize, they're foam. Yes. I don't, these kids shooting from 3.5 feet away from me, the foam pucks are way too dense that I'm not taking this too close to me. Like it would have smashed my camera even with the fact that it was foam. My camera would have eaten it. So I'm like, well, we can't shoot it right at the camera. And
okay,
I'm laying very close to them. And even taking one in the face with this dense foam puck would not feel good at all. So I'm not taking one in the face. They're also 11. So I don't know how accurate their shooting is going to be. So I got as close as I thought was reasonably safe for both my face and for my camera. So I was happy with the results. It's like anything, you do it and then I go home and I'm like, okay, I would have done A, B, C, D differently.
Right.
And so you kind of, I'm thinking, okay, and if I do this again, here's a bunch of takeaways. So I think I like that most about this thing is I've never done it before. And now I could do it again much quicker, and I probably could do better based on the fact that I've seen how it goes and what I would change. I probably wouldn't even bother with the pucks. I'd probably just get them to make the movement, and then I would just purely Photoshop the puck. I'd take a few pictures of the puck with the lighting mm-hmm. as it is, and then I would just Photoshop every one of them with the puck in, versus actually trying to do it all naturally.
Sure.
There's something wrong with that, though, don't you think? Like, not doing it naturally? I'd feel weird going out there, and maybe I would do half with the puck and half without. Then they wouldn't know which one had the puck or not.
No, and you could basically add, you know, some motion blur to the puck. You don't want to really Photoshop that too much, though, and that actually would be difficult now that I'm saying it out loud, adding motion blur, because now you're not just Photoshopping a solid object, you're Photoshopping something with an opacity wound down, like you're gonna have to see through parts of it,
which I did in some of them, and then I didn't like that. Actually went the other way, and I wouldn't make it perfect, but I'd add a little bit of, I'd take out some of the opacity, I add a little bit of to shade it darker, because I thought, to someone who doesn't know how photography works, which is most of the people who are going to be getting the images, they would mm-hmm. be confused by that.
Yeah I'm trying to think, but either way, for you to shoot 17 different action portraits in the span of 90 minutes, I mean, you break that down, that's 5 minutes a kid.
Yeah.
With a little bit of extra setup time. But so what did you shoot for light? Like, what did you, because the arena lighting is not great.
No, but I do like how old arenas look. And this was an old arena with some cool, on one side, some cool old murals. On the other side, some cool... looking kind of like seating. So I think I can't remember exactly. I killed probably 80% of the ambient light. And then
the one you sent me a couple samples. So you're probably underexposed by between one and two stops.
Yeah. Somewhere like that.
So it definitely killed it. But I mean, like, also you have like the light color in there. I don't know how you make lights brown, but they somehow did in the 70s.
Yeah. Yeah. These lights are kind of a weird, and I thought, do I go black and white with them? No, like I think we go color, just based on what they would want. And I don't really want to do both. I don't want to go through and have to do all the photos a second time again for, you know, what the price that I was charging to do this. I wasn't going through and doing every photo twice. So I think I ended up with the two flashes in pretty much every photo. And that idea was to just kind of freeze their body, their stick. For the most part, sometimes there's a tiny bit of motion blur, but motion blur that makes sense in the sense that they're shooting the puck. And that's it. I just kind of had them skate into kind of more or less a target point. And then I just took the shot, and I got them each kid to probably do 10, because it's such an instant where sometimes you catch it the moment that their stick hits the puck. Sometimes it's just as they're falling through. Sometimes they look better at the end of their follow through. Obviously, mm-hmm. form and technique for every kid's different. So some of the kids really look like they know what they're doing when they shoot the puck, and others not so much. So you're trying to be as flattering as you can, but you also, if they're, I don't know, a foot, if I take the photo and they're a foot past the light or a foot before the light, the lighting just doesn't look great either. So it's all, there's so many moving parts here. And the fact that my glasses are over my nose and I'm my legs are frozen. Like, there's so many things that I'm irritated doing this. I'm trying to do my best, and I'm thinking I really need to charge more money when I do this kind of thing.
Right.
So it was all in all, I take away the experience, and I would say if I was to do this again, the price is probably double, and you got to come to my neck of the woods. I'm doing this.
So what did you use for light? You just use one flash?
Two flashes. Yeah, two speed lights. I had brought a third, and mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, do I use the third? But then I thought, okay, then they're likely. A lot of them are going to look very different, and I know that they're kind of going to want all of them to look similar. And so I thought having that third light is going to make for a different looking image with almost, with a lot of the kids, depending on where that third light hits them. And I wouldn't put three all on the one side. So I'd probably have a third either in behind or off to the side, but I'm also shooting very wide, and I really don't want the lights in the photo. So I ended up opting for two, and, mm-hmm. just two speed lights.
All right, which means you can't just fire off a burst mode. You got one shot each time the kid.
Yeah, comes in. So it's basically 10 shots on 10 takes for each kid, yeah. And I do think that if I was doing this again for my team, I might just try stack. Well, because I know they wouldn't care if they all look exactly the same. I would try just, again, playing with the third light. If I was doing it again, I'd probably kill all of the ambient and not have any of the background and just, but then you get zero motion blur. And in some of them, I really like, I don't know. I just, one of those things that I can make an argument both ways as to do you kill all the ambient or do you leave some of it? Or I like this ring, so I left some of it. But then in some of them, I think, oh, it would have been better if I just killed all the ambient.
Yeah, if you're shooting at like the Richmond Ice Center over there on 6th Road, you kill all the ambient because that's an ugly warehouse.
Yeah.
That still exists, right?
Yes, the Richmond Ice Center does exist, yeah.
Because when they built it, whatever it was, 25 years ago or 30 years, whatever it was basically built as a warehouse, meaning, you know, hey, if this is no longer economically viable to run as an ice rink. Originally, it was 4 rinks. They added 2 on. We'll just pull the plants out, the freezing plants and the ice machine plants, whatever you want to call them, and we'll just use it as warehouse space.
Right.
And that's it. And that was the plan. And so, you know, you walk into that rink, and first of all, it was built on top of the old Richmond dump, the sanitary landfill. For real.
Yeah. No, I believe it.
I used to go there as a kid when I went with my dad, and you know, dump stuff off, hence the name dump. But so they built it on top of there, and then they built it. It's one of the ugliest facilities you've ever seen in your life. And so taking pictures in there, I would absolutely kill all the ambient and just hope that you can't see any of it. But in these older rinks, like if you're over at Minoru Arenas on rink 1, for example, you're going to want to see that, even though it's been updated and not very well. Like that tinfoil roof, you know, probably does wonders for the insulation, but doesn't look good.
Right.
Compared to the old rafters of the old barn. But, so all right, well, hopefully you get more jobs out of this that pay better.
Yeah, or not. I don't need to do jobs like this. I honestly thought, like, okay, if someone again, you know, asks, because it's going to come up again. And again, I just like, I just would think, what is the price? It needs to be a lot to get me to do this. Like, I was so hating life lying on the ice as my legs freeze. Like I basically next time need to wear a parka with snow pants. Cause no matter what pants you wear, you lie on the ice for an hour on your legs, they freeze. Like, it is not comfortable. Do you wear gloves? I don't like wearing gloves because, you know, you like your hands free for your camera, but my hands froze too. And I got to figure out something. I need the James Worthy prescription goggles to do this because your glasses don't work with a helmet. Like, you can't wear, I don't have a mask or anything. So I'm just wearing a regular helmet, no shield, no nothing, but my glasses, you know, where they have to go, the helmet just pushes them off. So
I can't get on board with the helmet in the situation. I understand that when you're coaching or something, you have to wear them now. I mean, I grew up not doing that. And so it's kind of weird to me.
It's all insurance. It's like, you can't go on the ice.
I understand that's the world we live in. It's nonsense. Everybody kind of wind it down a little bit. Especially in this case, we should be able to look at this and go, all right, you know, Adam has been skating for his whole life. He's going to be just fine here. This is more hassle than anything else. That's a long story. We don't need to get into that stuff. Not photo stuff. All right. Photo challenge this week was action brought on by you.
Right.
I'm guessing by the fact that you knew you're going to have some hockey stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's do mine first and get it out of the way, because you posted 3 of them and we'll talk about those. This was tough for me. I thought, oh no. Like, you gave me very short notice on this, and I thought, all right, well, I believe your exact quote was, hey, I don't have any time either. Just get a photo of your daughter doing a cartwheel and be done with it.
That's exactly what I said.
And so as it turns out, I completely forgot that a couple hours ago, she does have her weekly gymnastics class that she takes. Well, not class or club, but she's in, whatever it is.
Right.
And so I said, all right, well, I'll show up with, you know, 20 minutes remaining in the session, and I'll grab a photo of her doing that. Hopefully I'll get a photo of her doing some gymnastics. And as it turns out, I got there right at the time they were doing their last run, their last little attempt at whatever this was. And so I had exactly one opportunity to shoot it, and this is it.
Sweet.
Yeah, so it all kind of came together.
It's good form. I like that.
Serendipity.
Yeah, look at the toe point. Sarah, as a dancer, would say great toe point on this, the leg that's sticking straight up in the air. Like got a nice pointed toe.
I don't know if she's trying to, because this is supposed to be some sort of a front flip.
Yeah, that's okay. I still like it. Maybe there's some dance in her future.
Yeah, she does do the dancing as well. I think we're going to send her to that. There's all those sorts of things. The gymnastics, likes the dancing, also likes the horseback riding. So
that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but that's closed down for the winter. It's too cold to be doing that.
Yeah.
But
she enjoys it. Good pick. I like it.
And so, yeah, so this was very fortunate, because the gym can be very ugly, or it can be very well lit. Like, this is not lit. This is ambient lighting. I didn't like this.
Oh, wow. It looks lit.
Looks like
a
flash.
Yeah, for sure.
On the one side of the gym, basically like where I'm sitting on the one side of it to my back, whenever I take pictures in this gym, I sit in the same side, which is the opposite side that you're kind of supposed to sit on. But that side is essentially all glass, believe it or not, like very thick, like safety glass, but also frosted. So you can't see through it. It's translucent. So a lot of, if there is sunlight, which it doesn't come from that direction, but if there is some ambient light, it will come that way. So I kind of put that to my back and shoot a sort of a window light. But we actually happen to have sunlight come in, and on the opposite side of me, on that wall, on the top, only on the top part of the wall only, is all windows. And so this really cool sort of, not even hard light, but semi, it was between soft and hard light coming through and kind of creating this nice kind of pool of light down, happened to be right at this end of the gym. So all kind of came together. I had taken my 5D Mark III with my 70-200 with me, and blam, snapped off like 8 photos really quick as she did her little flip, and that was it.
Easy. Looks great. Like I said, you included just enough of the background.
Right. Now, this is a crop. I cropped this later to do that. I just like this one especially. I liked the fact that it was mid-action, but the look on her face, the sheer joy of her doing a very bad front flip.
Right.
But she's getting there. She's pretty good at it, so we'll see.
Okay.
All right, let's have a look at yours. You got 3. So the first one is just the one of just your son by himself.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I kind of...
What's the A stand for? Real quick, what's the A stand for?
Alternate.
Whoa! I thought I was tricky. I thought I was suckering you in.
No, I think... Canadians
well played.
Know that, yeah.
So growing up, we always called it, like everybody called it assistant
I think
captain.
The kids probably still do too, but it's alternate because, I mean, technically only a captain or an alternate captain is allowed to talk to the referee. And so if the captain's not on the ice and the coach has a question for the referee, they're supposed to have one of the alternate captains go up to the referee to ask their question. So, yeah.
You did watch a lot of Jeopardy when you're Martinizing.
Yeah, I think at least... 60% of adults over the age of 30 that have watched any hockey probably would say alternate, but maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I would like, you don't have to do this because it sounds like work, but if you ask the parents on your teams independently, I'll bet you it's lower than 25%.
Wow. No. Okay. I'm going to ask. Now I'm curious. So maybe I'm going to take a poll here. The first one, I mean, I didn't really have one that I specifically thought this is. I just kind of thought, okay, I would talk a lot about shooting hockey, or at least I do, and just thought, okay, so this, the first picture, the one that it's just my son in the frame by himself, is just kind of like this is sort of, you know, when they're skating and turning, like it just kind of, this is what hockey players kind of look like a lot of the time. And so this is kind of a simple photo. You've got the body lean, you've got the puck out front looking up ice, like, you know, where are you going to pass it, or are you going to try to make a rush? And I just kind of zoomed in and gave a tight shot. So I try to get this kind of photo when I'm out there, when the kid is kind of isolated, because it's an easy one if a parent wanted to make a print to show just their kid without a bunch of other stuff going on in the background. So that was one example. And then I did one where...
Well, let's just stop there. Okay. This is a great photo because like this is right in the middle of that action. Stuff's going on. He's first of all, he's looking in the right place, which I happen to like. A lot of kids be looking down at the puck, even though it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's just right that mid stride. He looks like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Most of the time he appears to look like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I understand that. I understand the illusion. Yeah. What is he? 10?
He's not quite. He's still 9.
Yes. Yeah. So there you go. I mean, so quite honestly, he looks much better here than in real life, but that's 'cause he's 9 and not Sid Crosby.
That's right.
So, no, you caught this at the exact right moment, having the one skate up. This looks great.
Okay. So there's one, and then one, like he's a defenseman. So, I have one where he's defending. So he's another kid is coming in, cutting in and trying to probably go between the two defensemen at this point. And so he's making his pivot coming across, to make a poke check. So, That's the second, because I kind of thought, okay, well, let's have one that is clearly game action, because the first one, I guess, theoretically could have been taken at practice during a drill. So I try to...
In theory, but yeah, it's you know...
Yeah, but I like having stuff where, okay, there's two kids going at the puck. This is a photo I often like, too. I rarely like the photos where it's more than that, because it can get just a little bit muddy with the action, just so much going on. And so I like the subject to be very clear. Like, the kid that's got the puck is slightly out of focus and...
This is Silver Helmet Kid.
Yeah, the Silver Helmet Kid is slightly out of focus. And, you know, to me, it's like, okay, the two, it's sort of a battle going on here. It's clearly like a scenario of like, you know, one-on-one battles that go on in hockey all over the ice. And so he's going to kind of lunge and make the poke check. So that's number two. And the exposure...
Hey, hold on. My issue with this one...
Okay, go ahead.
Is... Now, there's a whole bunch of reasons that I look at this kid first. Like, I definitely look at the kid in the black jersey first.
Okay.
For reasons. I mean, first of all, the rest of the scene is pretty much white.
Yeah.
And thus, he pops out right away because he's got the black jersey.
Okay, yeah.
Two, maybe it's because he's closer to the camera and thus closer to me, technically. So he is bigger in that respect, sort of. And so boom, I look at him, and then we have the whole left to right thing, you know, in the Western world, we read, left to right. And thus oftentimes, believe it or not, that's how you look at a photo. You look left to right, like you're reading. So I see this kid first.
Okay.
Now it's okay. My only issue is that he is too blurry or not blurry enough.
Okay.
Because it takes a while to kind of go, oh, wait, he's not the subject. It looks initially like you're like, well, you kind of miss the focus on this one, but then you realize, well, no, that's my kid's the other one.
Right.
And so now it would be difficult to make him blurrier, because you're probably shooting this at an F4 anyway, and on this maybe an F5-6, but probably an F4, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Everything with this 70-200 is F4, just because you're trying to get as much light as you can, and that's all I can get with that lens. And you're cranking the ISO too, because it's so dark, because minimum for this is 1/800th of a second, or you'd like faster. So, yeah. So as a result, you just always are shooting at F4.
So you're not going to be able to, well, you can't open up wider, obviously.
Yeah.
You don't have an F2.8 or an F2 or something like that would be great. Then he'd be way more out of focus. But you can't stop down either, because if you stop down to an F8 or an 11, all of a sudden you got 1/30th of a second. Yeah. Well, everyone's going to be blurry.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're in a tough spot here. So again, it's not so much a criticism of your form. It's just that's the hand you're dealt.
I'll tell you what I use this photo though for. Like, this wasn't really a thought of, oh, this is a photo challenge. I wanted to show the kind of different photos I took, but this is a photo that I'll use in the slideshow at the end, because, you know, with the Ken Burns effect and, you know, moving across the photo, I like these photos because I can, you know, rather than just the static photo of my kid, that first one is a better photo as a standalone photo. But for a slideshow, I like this because it sort of shows, like, I can start it with that kid just off and then move in and on my kid defending. And that was kind of the idea with this photo. This is a slideshow type photo. Should we talk about the last one?
Let's talk about the last one.
So the last one is, again, an in-game photo, but the big difference with that last one is the first two were taken from the bench. So I was on the bench with the coaches. They don't mind if I go on. No one else seems to care. So I'll go on the bench and take photos off the bench so I don't have to stand in front of the glass. But this last one, I'm standing in the corner of the rink and shooting through the glass. So my kid is playing left defense. So he's kind of taking a shot, coming in off the point and taking a shot. And so I'm pretty far from where he is. And I think because I was shooting, trying to get the whole scene in, I was kind of waiting there. I think they had a power play and I was like, okay, it's a pretty good chance he's going to get a shot off from the point. If they have a power play and they work the point. So I kind of had the scene a little wider. I'm standing in the corner, but I think I'm at like 78 millimeters or 80 millimeters on the 70 to 200. So the wide side of that lens. And then I think this photo is even cropped from there. And I'm getting him kind of stepping in off the point and shooting a point shot. And the key was I was trying to also get a shot where the puck was in the frame too. So there's a lot of moving parts, but you do kill some of the saturation. And if you don't get the camera perfectly kind of level with the glass,
perpendicular,
then you get reflection off the glass. So this is an example of, it looks pretty good to my eye for the fact that it's shot through thick glass that's got marks all over it. Like the glass is not clean. Yeah. That's very dirty glass.
dirty glass.
Yeah.
My main issue with this photo, this is not your fault. This is a horrible photo. And for one reason only, why is the ref leaning on the boards?
Yeah, he's taking it. You have a ref critique.
I did. I grew up reffing hockey. I ref fairly high caliber. Fairly high. I say fairly high because a lot of the guys I refed with went and are still in the NHL, actually. Do we name names?
No,
everyone knows.
Don't worry.
Everyone knows where he's from. Come on. Yeah. He's from our hometown.
That's right.
I used to referee many, many years ago with Kelly Sutherland.
Big-time NHL referee.
Big-time. He's still in the league, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he is, yeah. I think he's on the East Coast, though. He doesn't do the West Coast anymore.
So back in the day, is that true?
I think so. I think so, yeah.
Oh, we used to ref, and we used to have a lot of fun. And so we used to have, during the game, imagine this. We're the guys reffing your game. So back then, is there still one ref and two linesmen?
For our games, it varies, but there's usually at least two. Sometimes there's three.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just one ref, one linesman. Yeah.
Oh, sometimes it's like a two-man system, right? Which is the linesmen tend to call penalties as well. But so back then, we used to have a ref and two linesmen. And before the game, we'd each of us would put in like $2 or something like that. And how did it work? The first guy, no, it was, you put money in. First guy to blow his whistle lost.
Okay.
You get that? So the game's going on, and it'd be like, come in slightly offside. Yep. Good. Like you would not blow the whistle. You would, or like, you know, the puck goes in the net and the ref's supposed to blow the whistle. Well, no, so Kelly would just yell, "It's a goal! It's a goal!" And the play would just stop. And so he didn't blow the whistle. And so we'd try to go on. So sometimes it'd be like 10 minutes without anyone blowing a whistle. That's good times. He's in the NHL now, though.
All
so
right,
good for him.
That's good. And you're ripping on this ref for leaning on the boards.
I didn't lean on the boards. That was very key, man. Like, you did not lean on. There's a lot of rules. You didn't lean on the boards. I can't see his laces if they're white enough. They don't look like he has white laces. That's a problem. Yeah. This kid's getting a bad evaluation. Okay. I'll tell you that right now.
All right. Okay.
He's not going. He's not going to the NHL.
Okay.
So there you go. All right. Photo topic. This week, photo topic. Topic for the show this week. I wanted to talk about just pretty quickly, because we're getting long in this episode, but having a go-to, you know, in the NFL, you got to, you know, as you're a quarterback, you got a go-to guy, the guy you just keep wanting to hit with that ball.
Right.
We have a go-to setup here, and now I want to hear about your go-to setup, but really quickly, we're going to improv this.
Okay.
In different scenarios, because you have multiple cameras. I have multiple cameras, multiple flashes, lenses, there's all kinds of so many different variations of equipment that it can bring. I want to hear your go-to setup for different situations.
Okay.
Okay, so I'll start. I'm gonna go ahead and drop one on you. I want to hear what you bring. Camera or cameras. Lens or lenses? Do you bring a flash, bounce board, tripod, light stand? What all stuff? What do you bring with you for this scenario?
Okay.
All right. Late July.
Okay.
Afternoon/evening barbecue, Jericho Beach.
Probably the 5D Classic, and I'm gonna say the 85 millimeter.
85 mil. Yeah, okay, why is that?
The end. That's it. Well, I'm going to bring the 5D because we're at the beach and I don't really want to get a whole bunch of sand into my camera, especially if this is a family barbecue. I'm not getting paid for this. So this is the family.
Right.
I love the fact that we're at the beach. So, I mean, I can move in and out as much as I want. So I like how portraits look better with the 85 compared to the 50. So mm-hmm. I know that I got lots of room. So having the 50 isn't a huge advantage to me in terms of, you know, if I'm going to shoot a group, I can just stand back a little further. But if I'm going to shoot close up portraits sort of at sunset, then I'd much rather have the 85 in my bag. And I really don't want to bring both because then you're back to changing lenses and you're out at the beach and there's probably some wind. So I'm going one camera body, the safe one, the Beater 5D Classic, and I'm going 85 because I have lots of room to back up.
I'm going to add two things. One, I would probably bring the exact same setup. There's a chance I might bring the 70 to 200 because Jericho specifically has a ton of room mm-hmm. where you can get way back and have that option. The only downside to the zoom lens is that, you know, there's a little bit of air coming in and out when you are changing the focal length, which can pull sand into your lens. So still, I'd probably risk it. So the two things I would add to that, now, main reason being, I'm not at Jericho Beach as often as you, mm-hmm. so it'd be kind of my one thing, like, all right, I don't want to, you know, I want to make sure I get a lot of good photos. I would bring my bounce board with me, mm-hmm. just in case, and I'd bring a plastic bag to throw my camera in to avoid any wind and sand.
Oh, I'd bring my actual, I didn't say camera, I'd bring my actual, like, little, small, kind of top loader camera bag.
Okay, yeah.
So, because I agree, I like, if I'm not using it, it's in the camera bag, because even though it's a Beater camera, I still don't want to get sand all over it. The bounce board, I agree with you, like, it's handy, but realistically, would I bring it? No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'd like to think I would, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, but see, for me, it's like, all right, me and the family were in town from Germany for, you know, this is our one day out there. I'm going to really kind of milk it for all I can. Sure, so,
yeah. No, and there's different situation. And it's light and it's, you know, it's compact, so there's no reason not to. So,
sandproof.
Yeah, I think that's a good addition.
All right. Got one for me?
Sure. You're going to go to someone's office to do a headshot, but you're doing it on location.
A headshot on location.
Yeah. So it's, you know, someone's office building. They want a headshot. They're, you know, whatever. They're in the marketing department. They just want a business style headshot and you've never seen the office and it's, you know, can you come? I'm paying you to do this, headshot on location.
Okay, I'm getting paid for this.
You're getting paid for this, and you get a sample that's just kind of a generic headshot, like, hey, I need something in the way of a kind of a generic headshot.
Okay, I'm going to bring a lot more. As soon as I'm getting paid and going to an office, I unfortunately have to overpack.
Okay.
But I know it's the office, so I know I'm going to have a little space to leave my equipment that's safe, out of the elements. So I'm bringing my full camera bag. I'm bringing the 5D Mark III with me. I'm going to bring the 50 mil. I'm going to bring the 85 and the 70 to 200. And I know I'm going to use one of those. Mm-hmm. I have other lenses I could bring, the 24 to 105. That's going to stay in the bag. That's going to stay at home. So I'm bringing those three lenses. I'm going to bring a backup body. The 5D Classic is coming with me because I'm getting paid. I don't want to look like an idiot if my camera, for some reason, just goes down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I need to have a backup ready to go immediately. So that's what I'm bringing camera-wise. I'm going to bring a three light setup. And so I'm going to have three stands. I'm going to have, two umbrellas. I have two small folding umbrellas. There's no way I need three. And so I'll have that on a wireless, three off camera flashes. I'm not going to bother with my 580 EX2 cause I'm not going to shoot on camera. And then lastly, I'm probably going to throw one of my homemade snoots in there just in case I need to rake it across the wall.
Okay. All right. I probably would bring almost everything that you said, minus probably the three lenses. I'd probably only bring the 50 and the 85. I wouldn't bring the 70,
yeah.
200. But again, that's just a moot point because like you say, you don't really, you're going to set your gear down. You don't have to worry about the extra weight. I just know I wouldn't be using the 70 to 200. Just easier for me to do it with the 50 or the 85.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay.
Okay, next up for you, it's a wedding.
Okay.
It's your cousin's wedding.
My cousin's wedding. Gotcha.
You're attending. You're not the photographer.
Okay. I'm just going to take some photos for my own purposes.
Sure. It's your cousin. You see a bunch of family coming in from out of town. You haven't seen them in a long time. So, you know, especially with, you know, your kids haven't seen the family in a while. And so you want to snap some photos. You don't want just your cell phone. Maybe you do. Maybe you want your iPhone 2 like you have.
Yeah. I would go on this one, especially because I'm not the photographer. I'm probably going to be having a few beverages and I'm not going to want to worry about where my gear is or what's going on. So I think this is a scenario for me that it's the RX100 and a couple of spare batteries and that's it. And I'm just going to take some snapshots. I'm going to, that camera can almost shoot in the dark. Like it's not quite as good as your small camera, be just technology's changed and blah, blah, blah. But It is pretty darn good in most scenarios. And like I say, I'm not delivering photos for him in this scenario. I'm just purely taking them for my own self. And it can shoot at 1.8 if I go wide. So I can get something, RX100 all the way. And then I have to not worry about it. Stick it in my pocket when I'm not using it.
Especially at the table when you're having dinner. This is where I find it to be the big issue. You're at a table, like a round table, 8 people. There's 17 different sets of cutlery for each person. You have 4 glasses each. They're all full with liquids. I don't like leaving my camera sitting out there.
Right.
There's nowhere to put it. You're never at the edge where, like, you know, oh, there's a photography locker right next to you. Like, that never happens. Yeah. You can't leave it under the table. Someone's going to kick it. There's a lot going on. So definitely pack light. I'm going to go with my X100 on that one. But what I might do is just because I'm going to have fun with it, I might bring one of my off-camera flashes with the sync cable that I now use.
Right.
Just to have fun with it, because worst case scenario, after a couple of beverages, I drop it. Well, I paid 19 euros for it, for the flash.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I'm not even going to bring a second battery. I'm going to make sure that battery's charged. And if I blow through it, that's enough photos for that day.
Sounds good.
All right.
Yeah, so very
next
very
up, what do you got for me?
Very similar setup. I've got, okay, so you're going to go to a fair or a carnival with your young family.
Fair or a carnival?
Mm-hmm.
Like the P&E, for example.
Yeah, sure. You're going to the P&E for the day. It's the kind of thing you might do once a year. Maybe you don't do it every year, or maybe it's your first or second time to the carnival. The kids are going to be maybe going on rides, maybe playing a couple of games. You're going to possibly be going on some rides. What do you bring?
100%. This one's easy. It's the X100.
Okay. So
no flash, no nothing. It can fit in my pocket if I need it to. I can throw it around my neck and have it go under my arm. The photos are great. Like the photography, the tech behind it is fantastic, but it also, and here's the thing, also shoots fantastic video if I need some of that.
Right. Yeah. So it's kind of a good all-in-one. And I think this is probably the scenario for a lot of people that, you know, maybe don't have one of those cameras. Your choices are, let's say you don't have that camera, your choices between your cell phone or what would you do between cell phone and DSLR here?
If I have anything north of an iPhone 5, I'm leaving the DSLR at home now.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Because
generally, you're outside, you're going to get some good photos. It's the carrying around part.
Yes,
you know, I've done that. I've gone to the P&E on a crowded day.
Yeah,
with the 40D and the 30mm lens, and it's like, again, it's even back then I didn't care if I broke it, so it was fine. But after a while, you're like, all right.
I did it with the 70-200 and, you know, like the 6D when I first got the 6D. And you just, you know, you get the new camera, you've got new lens, and you're like, I'm going to get the greatest photos ever. And then you realize, like you said, what a pain in the butt it is to be in these scenarios with your camera gear, especially like a heavy lens like that. And now it's also an expensive set of gear and you just don't want to put it anywhere. It's always like, oh, can you hold this while I go on this with the kids? And yes, you do get some good photos, but you also probably enjoy the day a lot less. So you got to pick, like, are you going to enjoy the day with your family, or do you want to come away with 20 great photos that you will not have posted in your house 3 years later? I promise you won't.
Yeah, you're over at the food court eating at Hunky Bill's trying to get some pierogies down, and next thing you know, you got sour cream smeared on your lens.
Yeah.
You don't need that.
It sounds good, especially when your kid's three. You're like, I need to have all these memories, and you can have them. I promise, with your, like I say, yourself. If you have a half decent cell phone, you can have those memories.
Okay. Yeah. I got another one for you. Let's see. New Year's Eve party. You're going to a New Year's Eve party. You're attending somebody else's New Year's
Eve
party.
So I'm not setting up a photo booth here.
Well, it's someone else's house.
I do that. Yeah. I'm that guy.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm not.
So photo booth or not?
I'm not doing it. Going to a New Year's Eve party. This is where I might differ from you. Like, I'm probably, like, again, do I want to shoot photos or don't I? So if I'm going to a New Year's Eve party and it's kind of known that, oh, hey, you know, he's the camera guy, he's probably going to come and take some fun photos. And I do sort of enjoy it, mostly because I don't love small talk a ton. So if I go to a New Year's Eve party and this is, you know, this is kind of gives me something to do, I'm probably going to bring the 5D again with a flash. And I'm probably going to just more or less, you know, I might bring a snoot. I'm just going to bounce light off the ceiling. I do like the fact that on camera with the snoot is great. So because it takes no time to pack that, I'm probably going 5D. I'm probably going 50 mil lens. And I'm going to go a flash and a snoot. That would be mine. I don't want it to be too cumbersome if I'm going to a party, especially with people that I know. I'm not worried about my camera gear getting stolen. So if I do want to just throw it in the case and put it out of sight, I'm fine with that. So yes, assuming that this is a trustworthy place to go, I'm going a 5D classic, mostly because I don't trust myself with a bunch of alcohol to not do something horrible to my camera. So I'm going to play it safe and not lose any sleep if I do damage to that setup.
I'm taking pretty much the exact same setup. Now this is under the assumption that the person's house I'm going to, I know them relatively well.
Right.
In that, you know, if the party goes late, like at 4 o'clock in the morning and we're shutting her down, worst case scenario, I can leave my camera stuff, you know, in a closet at their place and pick it up later.
Right.
Then I'm definitely taking the 5D Classic, the 50 mil. 50 mil is perfect for this situation. It is honestly the best lens. Whether you shoot with the flash or not, you're going to get great photos, but you add that on-camera flash, bouncing it with the black foamy thing or snoot, whatever, you're gonna just get some great photos. And again, you don't mind leaving that behind. I mean, if situation where you're gonna catch an Uber home, if Vancouver ever gets Uber, then I might not bring the flash with me, because that's my big concern, is breaking that or leaving that behind or something like that.
Right. Gotcha.
All right. Is that three?
I think so. Maybe
that was three.
Maybe you asked me three and I asked you two. Do you want one more?
Yeah. Fire off. Let's do the third one.
Okay. So you're going to, the person wants to do a Christmas card of, and it's a couple. So let's say a couple, that wants to do Christmas cards, and they're really specifically, they want to do a white background. So what do you need to do that?
At their house.
No, let's just say they're going to come to your house.
So that's not fair, because now, okay, well, I do have a go-to situation.
Yeah, there's
a
go-to.
I'm not having to pack.
Yeah.
You're right, because I'm thinking about, you know, what do I have to pack? But no, I'm rolling out the white background, because, you know, any wall that I happen to have still white, which are very few, I don't know that we have any. We do in the basement, but there's, you know, there could be pictures on them or stuff like that. So I'm got to the point in my life now where I'm tired of taking pictures off the wall to use as a white background.
Okay.
So I'm rolling out the white seamless that I have, the paper background, the big wide one.
With the stand and all the...
With the stands, I'm rolling that down. But I'm probably, unless they absolutely positively want a full-length shot, which they don't, they're gonna want the hips up. At the most. So I'm not going to roll this all the way out onto the floor. I'm just going to roll it to the floor.
Sure.
And drop some sandbags to keep it nice and tight. And so it's just going to be a simple white background with no floor. That way no one's treading on it, getting it dirty, et cetera, et cetera. And then after that, I am pretty much exclusively doing this is a situation where I do a four light setup. Now, I have two bare flashes that are basically crisscrossing the white background. lighting that up, making that a perfect white, which I light first. Then I'm going to have, this is a situation where I generally use the softbox, the big softbox that we have, sometimes the umbrella, usually the softbox, because I want to get a nice key light on them. And then I'm going to, and so I'll have a off-camera flash in there, obviously. And then the fourth flash I'm going to have in an umbrella that's going to be on the fill side. That's going to be like a fill flash, couple stops under, to just fill in the shadows on the other side of their face. And almost always, not always, this is a, like 5% of the time I'll throw the 50 mil lens on the Mark III, but almost always I shoot this with the 70 to 200, strictly because I like having the ability to go, you know, like a semi medium shot into close really quickly.
Okay.
And that's it. And half the time I'm going to shoot with a tripod just to be safe. And sometimes you just can't, you got to be fast. And so you just be careful and stop. Yeah. Make sure you don't jiggle the camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that sounds good. And pretty much straightforward. I would have done the exact same thing other than I would probably never shoot it with the 70-200. I would probably just go with the 85, or depending on if they wanted full length, then the 50, and just kind of move back and forth. I love the 70-200 as an outside lens, but I always just feel like my feet are the zoom and I don't have to then carry the weight. Maybe you're stronger than I am, I think.
Obviously.
Yeah, you're way stronger.
All right. Now the last one, I got one bonus one for you to end on.
Okay.
All right. You're going on a bachelor party.
No camera.
Good call. Wow. Trick question.
Yeah. No camera for the bachelor party. But that's not true for you, because I'm pretty sure you have incriminating photos of your friends after bachelor parties. Is that true?
Yeah, that's probably true. I think on my own too. I wouldn't say incriminating. Incriminating in what, like will I get divorced? No.
No, not that, but like definitely pictures
Will I run for Congress? No.
Right. Or pictures of your friends. Like, I think more your move is to wait for your friends to pass out and then draw horrible things on their faces and then take photographs. Yeah. So you for sure you have a camera loaded.
I used to bring a little 3-megapixel point and shoot that. Oh yeah. Brought to Vegas. Yeah. You were in Vegas there. You're at my bachelor party.
Yeah.
I think we have pictures of you in the car with the, In-N-Out burger you refused to eat.
Sure. Probably. There's probably something.
I forgot about that. That's right. No, I actually have you're right. I have a picture at were you at your brother-in-law's? Were you around then at his stag? No.
I went to the wedding, but I don't think we got up to Vernon for was the stag in Vernon?
No.
Okay, then I just wasn't invited.
That's, you, it must have been right at the beginning. I don't know why you weren't invited. That's not right. That doesn't
sound
right.
You just made me feel bad. Like, I'm like, oh no, I wasn't good enough for my brother-in-law's stag. Like, how bad is that? Who organized this?
You would have had a good time.
I'm gonna
tell
you,
there's paintball.
Oh God, I would have loved paintball.
One of the guys dislocated his shoulder.
I would have relocated it. I would have totally relocated it.
You know what? We really needed you on that.
Yeah.
He had to get surgery. He ended up getting surgery that day.
I would have saved his life.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. He did it during paintball. Oh man, that's a long story.
Hey, wait a second. Let's really get to the bottom of this. Who organized this stag? You were probably the organizer.
I was best man and thus organized the stag. I did not do the guest list.
Who did the guest list?
I don't know. I can prove to you that I didn't do the guest list.
Okay, I want to know who did the guest list, because this is...
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't remember.
Who didn't
like me? But here's how
me.
I can...
Someone didn't like
here's
me.
How I can, here's how I can prove to you...
My name came up.
It wasn't me.
And someone said, no way. No way that guy's coming.
It didn't come up to me.
Okay.
But your brother-in-law...
Yeah.
His brother came on the stag.
You're my brother-in-law. Oh, yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course,
so he
of
came.
Course. He came. No one likes
him. Yeah, but
him
if
either.
I was in charge of, I can tell you, if I was in charge of the guest list, he would have been nowhere near it. I'm not joking. It sounds like I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, on top of that, he never paid. I ended up paying for whatever he did. Like, he did paintball, the hotel. I think he probably took some petty cash out of the kitty. I paid for all of it because he refused to pay. And I tell you that story, And at no point are you saying, no, that's not the blank.
Sure,
I know.
I'm sure that's true. Yeah.
You're believing that. He probably took some CDs out of my car, which was awesome. So anyways, that's how you can tell I didn't do the guest list, because it never, ever would have had him there.
Okay. All right.
So you're, there you go.
I'm not offended anymore. Yeah.
On that trip, though, just to end this off, because we got to go.
Well, I do.
On that trip.
The dentist office is calling right now saying, hey, why aren't you here?
Because it's a good story, because one of the guys did pass out, and we were jiffying him in the motel, and somebody ordered pizza. And I have a photo of the pizza guy jiffying this guy.
Oh, that's awesome. See, that's why but you know what? I'm still not bringing my photo or my camera. I'm still not being that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it could also get used against you. You don't know, right?
Yeah. It's also some, but yeah, it was. And there's some funny stories for off the air. But anyways, all right. Challenge for next week. You think of one while I remind everybody what the monthly challenge is. The monthly challenge is do your best. Is this going to happen? Wait a second. Let me do the math on this one. So this was going to air. This is 50. No, we need one more challenge.
Yeah, I don't have one.
Seriously?
Make it easy. Come on. Something. Think of something easy. Weren't we saying, you said last week, oh, we'll do this at the end. Oh, how about winter fun? You can do that.
Right? Oh, now that you have winter. Yeah, well, I don't have winter here.
You don't have winter there?
No, there's no winter here.
Okay, outdoor fun?
No, let's do, we'll do winter fun. Maybe we'll go skating. I don't know. We'll find something. It'll be my winter.
Okay.
So challenge, it'll be the end of winter, hopefully.
Or how about just March winter? It doesn't even have to be fun. It could be just winter.
It's all fun. We're having fun. Okay.
Winter fun. All right, we got it. I got to hit the dentist now. So
let's all right, monthly challenge is do your best. Hashtag that, Two Hosers Monthly Challenge, Two Hosers Monthly Photo, or hey Hosers, and we'll check that out. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, or the two of us at TwoHosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.